What up, Fifth Downers? This is Johnny Smoke. You're listening to the Fifth Down Fantasy Football Podcast. I got my partner in crime, K-Mill.
What up, what up?
Yeah. We're doing our Week 12 waiver wire show. What a fucking week for injuries, huh?
What a nightmare week just in general, man. I thought my best built fantasy team was the best built, and it fucking ended up underperforming this week, which probably happened to a lot of you guys, too. A lot of big names underperforming.
It happens. Before we jump into things, I just want to let you guys know that you can catch our show on iTunes. We are also on Blog Talk Radio, Breaker. We are in all of the above. Let's get into things a little bit. We've got some news and notes that we want to kind of power through. We're not going to spend too much time on it. The Packers, they want to get Christine Michael ready for week 12.
Yeah, I would anticipate that they would because, their running game is stale. I mean, James Starks, the only time that, he can do anything is if he's wide the fuck open and nobody is around him. Other than that, he sucks. So
he did score a touchdown.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was referencing. He scored that touchdown, and it was just a breakdown in defensive coverage.
I think Michael isn't really going to cut into his time too much. I think it's going to cut into Ty Montgomery's playing time, who's seen his playing time dip quite a bit these past couple of weeks.
I would say he's droppable in a lot of formats, and not to mention, Christine Michael. I think it's just going to be a committee. Avoid it.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. You hear that AP might be able to return for week 15 or 16. I wouldn't look too much into it.
I did too, but same here. I wouldn't look too much into it. Look, people, he was ineffective when he was playing this year, even before he got injured. I'm not really expecting a whole lot with this. He might be worth the stash if you have an IR spot on your team, though.
Speaking of another guy that might be able to return, Amir Abdullah could resume practice soon.
I did hear that too, and I was very surprised at that because all reports I was hearing was he's done for the season. But who knows? He's a guy that he was putting up solid RB2 numbers before he went down. So he's a guy again, if you have an IR spot. Other than that, I wouldn't even touch it.
Indianapolis's offense finally looked like they are getting back on track, and what do you know? Andrew Luck is in concussion protocol. It does not appear like he'll be able to get ready in time for that Thursday matchup on Thanksgiving. That is a huge blow to their team when they're really going to need him against Pittsburgh. So that's devastating.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, man, Indy's got to invest in an offensive line. They're not giving Andrew Luck enough protection. He's always hurried. This dude's always running for his life. I mean, come on, help him out. And the other thing, too, just the other thing I want to touch on briefly is, Pittsburgh, man, stream everybody, nearly everybody, because they are going to feast on a depleted Colts defense, and it's going to be a very one-sided contest, in my opinion.
Cody Kessler, Hugh Jackson kind of hinted that he could be done for the season. He suffered his second concussion within the month. And it looks like they're going to give Josh McCown a go-around since it doesn't look like RG3 is quite ready yet.
Well, if you watched McCown on this weekend against Pittsburgh, I mean, he didn't look too good either. He
was no good.
Yeah, he was no good. And I actually did the hand motion with it. No good.
No pun intended for the kickers.
Right, no pun intended. What a Welsh. he fumbled in the end zone. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. And that was just terrible, awareness on his part. So,
That was a really good play. He really set him up, for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
another guy that could be done for the year is Jay Cutler. I mean, they don't really have a whole lot of options behind him. It sounds like they're going to give Matt Barkley a go-around.
Sorry,
ouch.
I can't. Yeah. You know what? The Bears team, start nobody. Zach Miller's out too. Start nobody.
Couple of people that are out for the year, well, actually, it kind of makes Cincinnati's out for the year because, they've lost AJ Green. They lost Gio Bernard for the season at the ACL tear. although I was hearing some reports that A.J. Green's hamstring tear isn't as what they thought it was. It's more of a small tear, and he might be able to return for, like, week 16, week 17. But
yeah,
it sounds like his fantasy season's done, though.
Yeah, it sure as hell sounds like that. We're talking maybe your last week of the playoffs, if you're in the championship.
And, you know, they're really not going to make the playoffs this year. They might as well just sit them down for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it would be a smart move by Cincinnati. You know, sit down your big players. You know, and A.J. Green's still got youth on his side. I believe he's only 28. I mean, he's still very young. He's got plenty of years left in him, good football left in him. He's your premier franchise player. Sit him down. And if I was a fantasy owner for A.J. Green, I would borderline consider dropping him at this point. He's really not worth keeping on your bench.
I don't know how fantasy relevant this is, but maybe it is a little bit. Ryan Fitzpatrick will start week 12. I think that could boost Brandon Marshall up a little bit, but even so, Fitzpatrick has been pretty bad this year too.
Yeah, I think the only reason that he boosts Marshall's value is just because of the fact that he will funnel him the ball no matter what. Triple coverage, quadruple coverage, it doesn't fucking matter. He's going to throw it there, and if he throws a pick, he throws a pick, but he's damn well going to throw it to Marshall.
You know, for the past month, I've been yelling at people, pick up Thomas Rolls, pick up Thomas Rolls, pick up Thomas Rolls, and now it's finally going to come to light. It looks like CJ Procise will be done for the rest of the regular season with a scapula injury. That sucks, because it looked like he was going to be like that waiver wire darling, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I think that the Seahawks are the ones getting most burn on this, because they could have had Christine Michael and Thomas Rolls, but they were like, oh, we're good with Procise and Rolls. Drop Christine Michael. And now they're like,
I bet they're missing them now.
Yeah, I bet they're missing them now. So, you know what, it's going to be funny, too, because, you know, Thomas Rawls, so far in his very young career, has been very injury-prone. I'm just saying, if he goes down, the Seahawks are going to be very sorry they cut Christine Michael.
Robert Woods has a knee sprain. He was seen in crutches. It does appear like he's going to miss some time.
Yeah, you know, it really opens up that spot for Sammy Watkins when he does get back, and especially with the play of Tyrod Taylor really taking, you know, shape. I mean, he looks great. He looks fantastic.
A teammate of Sammy's came out and said that he could return as soon as next week. He actually got a CT scan yesterday. We don't know the results yet, but he got a scan yesterday of his foot. Keep in mind, he has to be medically cleared by the team's doctors in order to return. So,
and also keep in mind that he didn't need that second surgery, so he was just recovering from his foot problems earlier in the season. It was just a pain tolerance type of thing. So as long as the team doctors say he's good, he will play.
You know, but he does have that same kind of injury that Dez was dealing with, that Julio was dealing with, and yeah, they came back from it, but they weren't necessarily effective when they came back. So also keep that in mind, too. If you're thinking about playing them in the playoffs, your fantasy football playoffs, I would double think that a little bit.
Yeah, and I just want to add this one last thing in there, too. Guys, Sammy Watkins is more so a boomer bust type player nowadays. And when he booms, he fucking booms. But when he busts, it's like a goose egg. So keep that in mind. I would not start him until I've at least seen him in one game.
Wouldn't be a bad replacement for someone who lost A.J. Green, though.
Yeah, very, very true. Very true.
I know you touched on it a little bit. Zach Miller hurt his foot. It appears to be the same foot that he had broken earlier in his career. He does look like he is done for the year as well. So he's droppable. Find someone else.
Yeah, you know what? Very unfortunate because, you know, Jay Cutler, you know, loves to target Zach Miller. So when Jay Cutler's in there, he's always targeting Zach Miller. So
he's having a good game, too.
These last couple weeks, yeah, he's been having fantastic games and returning tight end one value, and now that's all shot. So back to the drawing board for you, Zach Miller owners.
And what the fuck's going on with Philadelphia's backfield? Darren Sproles left with a rib injury. Ryan Matthews has an MCL sprain. Like, who do you? I mean, it looks like there's going to have to be like someone like Smallwood to take over the role for the short time being, you know?
Yeah, it looks like that. But here's my thing too. Now, the Eagles play on Monday night, so this is going to be very confusing because if you do end up, and we're going to talk about this, if you do end up picking up Smallwood. You got the fact of, you know, you've got a whole week for Sproles and Matthews to recover, so there's a chance Smallwood doesn't even play. However, he's probably the best running back ad this week.
You got to think he's got to get some time, even if Sproles was to return. You got to think he's going to get some playing time.
Yeah, you would have to anticipate.
LeSean McCoy dislocates his thumb. He was getting a procedure done today. It looks like he should be able to suit up, but I will say, tread light water. He might have some ball security issues. He might even lose a lot of work to Gillisley, you know, because he looked like he was doing pretty good in his absence.
Yeah, you know, Gillisley, in the one time that he did take over for McCoy, he did actually return RB2 value, and I would look for that to continue if LeSean McCoy was to miss extended time. And not to mention too, there's way worse bench stashes to have. If you can stash a guy like that and then say, you know, Shady's always banged up, so you know, if he's going down and you got to plug somebody in, I mean, he's a guy that could really, you know, be that championship winner for you. I'm just saying, those are smart ads that you could do.
Yeah, he's one of the top handcuffs in the league, you know. It's a run-heavy offense. All this bad news that we've been dishing out today, there is one piece of good news. Tevin Coleman has resumed practice today.
My boy, Tevin.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have them back.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, let's jump into the thick of things, shall we? We'll do some of our – want to do plug-and-play for quarterbacks, pick some streamers. There's a couple I like.
All right.
Probably one of my favorite streams of the week for quarterback. It doesn't come by to any surprise because of how bad Green Bay has been. Carson Wentz is next up on the slate. You know, Green Bay has been really bad lately. They've given up 1,239 yards over the past four games, giving up 30-plus points in each matchup. I kind of like this matchup, but, you know, it could be very well – they very well could go to a more conservative route, kind of like, you know, what they did in, against Atlanta. But with all those running backs banged up, they might have to air the ball out.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more with that. I actually really don't have anything to add. You said it perfectly.
So, Camille, is there any quarterbacks that you have your eyeball on?
Well, I think Ryan Tannehill has a pretty good matchup this week, and I think that he could definitely return RB2 value. He's silently been pretty good lately because, you know, Miami hasn't been expecting too much of him. Well, he hasn't been too bad. What I'm saying is he hasn't been a fucking complete dumpster fire like he was earlier in the year. I mean, he's returning, like, quarterback two numbers usually. And
week 10 was probably his best game.
Yeah, exactly, and that's my point, is that, you know, he's got Jay Ajayi who's carrying the load. He's the early down workhorse, and then Tannehill is only expected to make throws here and there. And he's a guy, you know, I don't see a high ceiling for him, but I also see a decently high floor for him this week against San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, he had a really good game week 10. He kind of struggled a little bit last week, but, you know, it was really bad weather. San Francisco has given up 1,248 yards the past four games, 11 touchdowns. So there's definitely some value to be there for Tannehill if you're trying to stream a quarterback for week 12. One other guy I want to mention, he's not as high on the streaming side, but Sam Bradford goes against Detroit. He plays on the road, though. He did have, I believe, 273 yards on a touchdown last time they played. Don't like him as much on the road, though. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I have another guy just while we're on quarterbacks, too. Colin Kaepernick, you know, he's also, you know, got a pretty good matchup against the Dolphins, too, and he's actually shown he's actually been very productive the last couple weeks, and I think that this is a good matchup for him.
Yeah, the rushing value has been boosting him up, and he looks a little bit more accurate as of late, too.
Yeah, I think he's starting to finally, I think his shoulder looks nearly, you know, it's getting there as far as healing goes, and I think that he's doing a lot better as he gets healthier.
All right, I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question.
All right.
Would you ever, in your wildest dreams, play Jared Goff and play New Orleans?
I didn't like what I saw from him last week, so, you know, and that was against the Dolphins, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah, he looked like he got a nice welcome to the NFL by Cameron Wake. He got rocked.
Yeah, he did, yeah. And I look forward to continue, too, because he just looks like he just looks like that really skinny kid in high school that just, you know, I don't know, he just doesn't look like fully developed. He doesn't look like a football player to me. He looks just like a neat little punk.
I felt bad for him, you know, he looked like a lost puppy out there.
How can you feel bad for a guy that got drafted number one overall, took all that money, and now he's about to rob the franchise, and he's going to put L.A. in the dark ages for years?
All right, when you put it that way, you bring up a good point. other quarterbacks out there that you're not picking up, we had to play higher or fire, they would definitely be fired. Alex Smith going on the road against Denver, you're not picking him up. Flacco's a piece of shit.
Fired.
Trevor Siemian plays Kansas City. Fired.
Fired. So fired.
Another one is Brock Cockswaller.
No. I have something to say about Cockswaller. He's fired for the rest of the year. Just don't even think about it. Don't even touch him. Just don't even think about it. If you think about it, just like slap your hand like you're about to grab a cookie, but you don't want to, you know, affect your waistline. Ah, ooh. No, don't do it. Don't do it.
All right, let's go over to running backs. Let's play a little bit of hired or fired with the running backs, yeah?
All right, yeah.
T.J. Yeldon, he left with an ankle injury. He's over 50% owned, but would you think about dropping him?
I would definitely have to say I'm going to have to fire him. He hasn't been getting it done, and it looks like Ivory is really – he's had two out of his last three games have been 100-yard or more rushing games. So I think that this is – it's safe to say that this is Ivory's backfield.
We touched on it a little bit earlier. Ty Montgomery, his carries are going down. He doesn't seem like he's as involved in the offense. He did have a touchdown taken away because of a holding call last week, but he had seven touches
fired.
On the game.
Yeah,
fired. Okay.
Fired. He's going real – going in the wrong direction, like we just talked about. I don't need to hit it too hard. You got James Starks there, who's ineffective, and you got Christine Michael. It's just a conundrum. They're going to put him back to the depth player at receiver.
Tim Hightower, I believe he's like 52% owned. You know, Ingram left with a concussion. Just based off that alone, I would have to say hired.
Yeah, I would definitely say that, and also added, I'd say hired as well with Hightower. But he continues to produce. I mean, Hightower, you know, put in a good ticket last week. I know this was with injury, but, you know, Sean Payton's been kind of mixing things up. He's been, you know, throwing Hightower in there with Ingram, and at the very least, he's returning RB3 value. So I say that he's a nice flex play, if not an RB2, if, you know, say Ingram can't go.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at this point in the year, if you can find yourself an RB3, that's good.
I'll say.
All right. This next one, I want you to say with your best Donald Trump voice, okay?
All right.
Matt Jones.
Matt Jones, you're fired.
All right. Let's go further down the list. Some guys that are owned in less than 50% of leagues. You got Matt Asiata. He plays Detroit next week. Do you think he could be a plug-and-play?
I could definitely see it, but I wouldn't play him unless I was desperate. Unless you're extremely desperate, you know, don't do it.
He's a desperation flex play at this point because he's playing Detroit. What you're banking on is a goal line touchdown.
Exactly. He has to pull through a touchdown to even come close to what you want him for.
And same thing goes for McKinnon. Yeah, he's playing Detroit. He's 38% owned in Yahoo leagues, but, you know, you're banking on a touchdown because, you know, the yards per carry is just not there.
No, it is not. Yeah, that backfield just it scares me. No, desperation only.
All right. Derrick Henry did not receive a single carry this past week. Does that concern you, or is it more benefactored off of the fact that they are down 21-0?
I think he was phased out by gameplay, but I also think it just has to do with it. He's kind of a handcuff at this point, you know, and also, you know, they didn't really air it out, the offense. I'm not looking too much into it. Honestly, if you have Derrick Henry on your team, you would have him just on the off chance that he ends up getting RB1 type work.
Chris Ivory is 48% owned. Yeldon might miss some time. Who knows? You say Ed? I think he could be a flex play, but it's just that offensive line isn't promising.
trust me, I don't trust him as an RB2, but I definitely look for him to return RB3 or bust, you know. Who knows?
All right. Bilal Powell, I know they are off a bye week, so he's going to be a little bit less owned. He's 41% owned right now. Do you have room for him on your roster?
Absolutely, yes, because even though he is a handcuff at his best, at his worst, he has also proven to be a nice plug-and-play and a desperation flex play that actually returns value some weeks. So, because some weeks he gets heavily utilized and he ends up bolstering a touchdown or two.
Yeah, see, my issue with him is I never feel comfortable playing him, you know? Like, you know he's going to get those weeks where he's going to return value, but you don't know when it's going to be.
And that's my point, yeah. Don't start him just to start him and be like, oh, I think he's going to have a good week. Just start him if you absolutely have to. He should be a bench stash, though, in case Forte gets hurt, because then he's an every week RB2.
Jeremy Linkford vultured a goal line touchdown. I think that's pretty much all he's going to be worth at this point. Kenneth Dixon, are we finally off Kenneth Dixon's train?
I would say no. I personally, in a deep league, there's a lot, worse players to own. I think that he's definitely worth a bench stash still. I would hold on to him for one more week. This is still an ever-changing backfield. I would give him another week to see if he carves out a role. Because running backs this time of year are so hard to come by.
Where I'm at with him at this point is I'm not owning him unless I have Terrence West.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that
he just hasn't really looked that good when he has played. Like, every now and then he makes some nice plays, but, if this is going to happen, I feel like it would happen by now.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, yes, you can drop him. If there's other players out there, like, say, like Chris Ivory, I would add Chris Ivory and drop him. But, if it's pretty bare on your waiver wire and you're in a deeper league, just hold on to him.
All right. I know he touched on Gillespie. We both agree that he's an excellent add. It doesn't look like Paul Perkins is going to get that share of the workload that we wanted him to get. Rashad Jennings is really turning it on again, kind of like last year. So I don't know. I don't really feel like he's worth an add.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I would rather drop Paul. I would definitely drop Perkins before I dropped Dixon. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we touched on Abdullah. We touched a little bit on Smallwood. Another guy that actually looks like he could probably end up getting the majority of the interior rushes for Detroit is Dwayne Washington. He had 13 carries, but the problem is he only had 6 yards.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the problem. I think the only running back in Detroit worth owning right now is Theo Riddick. Other than that, I would just really not look too much into it.
Is there any running backs that we missed that you want to go over before we jump over to the wide receiver position?
I would just like to say any kind of a stud running back handcuff is greatly appreciated. Obviously, we talked about Bilal Powell. I think Kenneth Dixon is still worth rostering on your bench, especially if it's a deep bench, even better. But, yeah, if you have a running back, this is, like I said, this year, I just want to get on my soapbox for 1 second. Stud running backs are so hard to come by, and you want those, like, lottery tickets. So if you have room on your bench, I am a firm believer in keep those guys on your bench, and then if they get a roll, then boom.
All right. Now going over to the wide receiver position. We just watched him on TV. Will Fuller, it looked like he was sharing some snaps with Braxton Miller today. Granted, he's probably not 100% healthy. How do you feel about that?
Granted, I really don't want to add either of them because of the quarterback situation. I really just doesn't make either one of them appealing to me.
Bingo. Another guy that I do not feel like is worth the add is Michael Floyd. He got benched, actually, again. Bruce Arians said it's because he had the flu, but come on. We've seen him run short on that route and then end up leading to an interception. We all seen it. Don't play like he had the flu. Maybe he did, but he wasn't on the injury report.
Yeah, speaking of which, just real quick, Bruce Arians had a heart attack, too, so the Cardinals are getting so many injuries, even their coaches injured. So, I don't know. Don't add Floyd.
You know, we touched on him a little bit. Sammy Watkins, 42% owned. I've been stashing him on my bench for, like, since, like, week 4 or 5 because we have an IR spot. But, I think it's time.
Yeah, if you are a playoff team, I think he's a great add, especially if you are, say, a team that, you know, lost AJ Green. You know, he's a great add, and especially if you have the IR spot. He's a must add if you have an IR spot available.
Tyreek Hill, after seeing some great production the past couple of weeks, last week he was third on the team in targets behind Kelce and Chris Conley even. He had 4 catches off 5 targets, but he plays Denver next week, so you're not picking him up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he is averaging 7-8 targets a game, but that's without Jerry Mack.
Yeah, he actually had 13 in week 10, but, you know, I kind of touched on it on some previous shows. That's not gonna happen every week, even if Macklin's out, because you know they got Travis Kelce over there, who actually had a really great game, by the way.
Yeah, he did. And you know, the other thing too to keep in mind is, you know, he's playing the Broncos next week, so he's definitely, don't even think about starting him next week.
Pierre Garçon, he had 116 yards and a touchdown, and they played Dallas next week. Dallas's backfield or secondary is a little bit banged up, but I think there's definitely some better options out there than Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
So you will definitely be on the wide receiver 3 on the lower end.
Sorry, I sneezed. Holy shit. I don't know why, because I think allergies are getting me. Anyways, yeah, as far as the Pierre Garçon goes, I'm not really sold on him. I think that was more of an outlier performance. It's one of those waiver wire.
Oh, he had
that
70-yard touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. That's where all the value came from. It's like, like everybody's looking at the points, but in reality, it's just, you know, it's not going to happen every week.
Eli Rogers had a couple of nice performances, followed up by a dud this past week against Cleveland, probably a big letdown. But keep in mind, it was windy. It was kind of snow, trying to snow out there. So, I mean, there's better games available in the coming future, especially next week, he gets to play Indianapolis. So,
plus the Browns were being easily handled. You know, they didn't really need production from him. Like Le'Veon Bell did all the work.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the way I was looking at it is if you can't stop the run, why would I throw? I'm just gonna keep running.
Yeah, exactly. The game flow favored Le'Veon Bell from before the pregame even started.
Tajay Sharp, he had a. He caught 4 of 7 targets for 68 yards and a touchdown. A lot of that came off that nice deep pass. But, you know, he's starting to pick up his play the past couple of weeks. 12% owned.
Yeah, the coach called him out, you know, said he had a lot to learn. He was still pretty immature. Everybody was jumping at him at the start of the season, and now he's finally jumping into that role, and I kind of like where he's going with it.
Yeah. With A.J. Green going out, who do you like more from the wide receiver standpoint, not counting Tyler Eifert? You got LaFell, and you got Boyd.
Tyler Boyd?
I'm sorry, yeah, Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, you know, I gave this one a lot of thought, too, because people were asking me about it. I got a couple questions on a couple different places. Now, LaFell is just not doing it for me. He just drops balls, and
he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he looks like a piece of shit, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Tyler Boyd, he actually picked up really well in the absence of A.J. Green. So, you know, and he got 54 yards in the score. So, there might be something there. And you got to think, too, Andy Dalton throws the ball a lot. He's going to have to throw to somebody else besides Eifert.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Boyd looked like his favorite target. He had 8 targets. He caught 6 of them for 54 yards. He even scored a touchdown. So, I mean, maybe that could be worth a speculative ad, like maybe as like your wide receiver 5, maybe he can turn into something.
To be honest, I wouldn't add him with a waiver claim. I would just wait and see if he goes unclaimed in the waiver period and then add him.
All right. You know, another kind of interesting ad, he's lowly owned, and but he's kind of like the second receiver on his team now, is our Marquise Lee for the Jaguars has 22 targets in the past week.
What about Alan Hearns?
Yeah, he's like a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we both touched on it more this season. We're like, yeah, you know, we can see some regression from this offense. We can see Allen Robinson having a little bit of a down year. But and I know I definitely said, I think the one that's going to be hurt the most is Allen Hurns. And you see it. Allen Hurns isn't anything all year.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I don't think either of us foresaw the regression of this Jags team. I thought we definitely saw some regression coming. It was like there's no way that Jacksonville.
I think a lot of people did.
There's no way that they could have sustained that production, and you know this year is building proof. But I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
All right, going over to is there any other receivers you want to talk about?
I'm okay.
All right, going over to the tight end position. He's not as available as he was the past couple of weeks, but Zachary Ertz, 57% owned. He has 26 targets in the past 3 weeks with 20 catches, and he actually scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I like Zach Ertz. He's been more and more utilized, but, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I really do stand by it, man. I'm so just done with Zach Ertz. I do own him in a couple of leagues, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm there comfortable enough to start him, you know. That's just how I feel with him.
I mean, obviously, he's on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues for a reason. But you really do gotta like the production that he's starting to put up recently.
I know, and I know my luck with Ertz is the minute I put him in, I'm gonna get a fucking goose egg from him.
Yeah, that's how it always happens. Like there's a lot of people that drop Minnesota's defense, and they had an excellent week.
Yeah.
CJ Fedorowicz, my boy. You know he's playing right now. The game's probably over by now, but he actually had a pretty decent game from what I can tell. I think he had like 8 or 9 points on my team. He's widely available. He's owned in 22% of leagues. If you're in a pinch, you can plug him in. But the question I have for you is, how do you feel about Jared Cook? 12% owned. He had 6 catches, 105 yards, a touchdown against Washington.
Yeah, I got some questions about this too. Jared Cook, man, what can I say? You know, he was a guy that, you know, preseason I was like, ooh, maybe he could do something great today. But, you know, he's just his old self that he was in L.A. You know, he's injury-prone, and he just didn't live up to his potential, and I think it's going to continue. I mean, yeah, the stat line looked really nice this week, but, you know, for me personally, my personal opinion on him is, he's just not worth it to me.
Yeah, I was talking to the Diesel Doctor, and his opinion was, if you pick him up, you're chasing points at this point. You're gonna pick him up, and he's gonna get you like 2 catches for 10 yards.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that opinion by the Diesel Doctor. He's not worth it to me. You're chasing points at this point. Couldn't have put it better.
Ladarius Green still looks like he's getting acclimated to the offense, so he's not worth the ad. But you know, one of my plug and plays for tight end, I think, is a pretty interesting streaming option, is Kendrick. From St. Louis. I know week 10 he didn't have any yards receiving. He actually had 4 catches for 7 on 7 targets this past week. That's pretty much what he's been getting for pretty much the year. He doesn't really have a lot of upside, but he does get a very, very nice matchup against New Orleans. The question is, can Jared Goff get him the ball?
And that's why I'm not adding him, just because of that. Y'all just say 2 words, Jared Goff, and I don't want to touch him. I would have to be extremely desperate to start Kendricks. I think there's actually guys that are, you know, less known than Kendricks that actually I like better.
Name one.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll let you go first.
I was going to say Vance Refrigeration, a.k.a. McDonald.
Good score.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, you know, the last 2 games, he's had 11 catches for 204 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that tells you something. And he's averaging nearly 20 yards per catch. I mean, that's not sustainable, but at the same point, you know, he has been really productive with Colin Kaepernick at the helm, so that's not to be ignored. And he also did have value when Blaine Gabbert was the starter, too, so just to, you know, let you know, he's a guy that I would rather start than a lot of guys in this game.
I'm glad that you named him, because another guy that I like that's even less owned, he's only owned in 2% of Yahoo leagues, is, you know, Will Tye. He's been picking up his play lately. He's got 20 targets over the past 3 weeks. And these next 4 weeks, he has an excellent schedule. Next week, he plays Cleveland. The week after that, he plays Pittsburgh. Then he plays Dallas. And then he plays Detroit. So, I mean, if you're in a, if you're like in a pinch or maybe you didn't draft a tight end, you've been streaming all year, he's going to be my streaming option for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, you know, what's even better for him is that Larry Donnell, you know, year long they were going back and forth, you know, who is the guy, and they were both basically, you know, stealing value from each other. And now that Donnell was a healthy scratch this weekend, you know, this is great for Will Tye. I think that he's really going to step into his own. And I liked him last year when, you know, he was able to be that primary tight end. You know, he had a nice connection with Eli Manning. He was getting a touchdown more often than not, you know, usually in most games.
All right. Before we end our show, let's who was some of your heroes and zeros of the week for quarterback?
For quarterback? Well, I mean, I think we got to go with the obvious candidate here, Tom Brady. I mean, he was just absolutely fantastic. I mean, I can't say enough about him. He's been on a fucking warpath this entire year. I think it's to get back to Goodell for spending him for four games, but man, he looks good.
You didn't like Kirk Cousins? 21 of 30 for 375 yards and three touchdowns.
Hold on, I was going to say Kirk, but you have to say something before you say anything about Kirk Cousins. Do you like that?
You know what impressed me was his arm strength in that wind when he was throwing those bombs against Green Bay. You know,
yeah.
He has six straight games of 250 yards or more.
I only have one gripe about him. Fucking three touchdown passes, you don't throw a damn one to Jordan Reed. What the fuck? I'm just kidding. I really loved what I saw about Kirk. And, you know, honestly, ever since last year, a lot of people were writing him off. It was a fluke, you know, this and that. I'm still a believer. I was a believer at the end of last year. I was really rooting for the Redskins in the playoffs. And you know what? I am on the Kirk Cousins bandwagon. So, you know what? Maybe it comes back to burn me in two or three seasons, but I'm on the Cousins bandwagon.
All right, who is your zero at quarterback? I have one. My zero for quarterback this week was Andy Dalton. That whole offense looked very bad against the Buffalo Bills.
They had what, 12 points?
Yep. I mean, yeah, that doesn't help either. But even before the injuries, their offense just looked stagnant. Even last week against the Giants.
Yeah. My zero of the week at quarterback was your boy Matthew Stafford. He fucking burnt me in one league, and yeah, he looked absolutely horrible. He looked lost. He wasn't getting a whole lot of help though either, and he has an even worse matchup coming up this week against Minnesota.
I think between Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, I think they only had three receptions.
Yeah, I know it was bad. The only guy that really produced in that offense this week was Ebron, and really other than that, it was just a shit show.
Well, really, Ebron didn't even do that well. He had that one long reception, and then he was lucky to get an end around for a touchdown.
That is true. But what I'm saying is, fantasy-wise, those were the only two that really turned in a good week. Well, only one that really turned in a good week, him and Theo Riddick.
All right. I'm going to be a little bit biased for my hero for running back, only because he's been doing very well for me as of late. Le'Veon Bell, he had 201 all-purpose yards against the Cleveland Browns. He also scored a rushing touchdown, which gives him three touchdowns the past 2 weeks after not scoring a single one since coming back off the suspension. So it's really nice to see that he's finally starting to heat up. And he gets a mouth-watering matchup against Indianapolis next week.
Man, you motherfucker! You had to take. I mean, you had an obvious candidate. I would have to say the same. I would totally agree with you. But just for the sake of being a little different, another hero I have this week for running back is David Johnson. We go back and forth with these two guys a lot. He was the only bright spot of this Arizona team, and I think he will continue to be so for the rest of the season. I mean, Carson Palmer looks lost. The receiving core looks lost. But David Johnson, man, he just continues to shine.
He is very, very impressive. And I'm sorry, I can't go on without saying that I can't leave him out because he had a really good week, too, is Rob Zombie Kelly. I know he terrorized a lot of opponents this week. 137 yards and three big touchdowns. Green Bay is the Fakers.
Yeah, man, they are a bunch of pretenders, like the Foo Fighters said one time. And you know what though, man? Yeah, Rob Kelly, man, I can't say enough good things about that kid. He looks like the guy that I was a little hesitant to name him, you know, at some points, but I'm on the Kelly train. I'm on the Redskins train. I am, like, riding their dick right now.
Who's a running back that really disappointed you this week?
Well, this one I kind of had a hard time with, but I'm going to go with C.J. Prosise. I think everybody was expecting, you know, him to, you know, rope a lasso around the moon and bring it to you, and he failed to really deliver. I know he got injured before everybody starts jumping on me, but I really he looked impressive during the first quarter, but then he kind of fell off. I think it was partly because of game flow.
Well, you know, he had that 72-yard touchdown run, and after that, he really didn't do a whole lot else. I think the injury happened sometime after that. It happened because he went to the locker room before halftime. So,
yeah, that is true. I mean, and it is that injury does have something to do with it. But I was just saying.
My zero is he's not a zero necessarily because he had a terrible week. But only because I was expecting more out of him was Jonathan Stewart. He had 18 carries for 31 yards, salvages his day with a touchdown run, which I was actually surprised that he even got because the first time they gave it to him, he got stuffed, and they actually went back to him. So that was nice to see. But I was just expecting him to do a lot better than what he did.
Yeah. I also have a bonus zero of the week. Gigi has been so effective lately. I know he did face a tough L.A. defense. But 16 attempts for 77 yards and no touchdowns. I mean, and there were times where he kind of just looked a little lost, and he made some bad plays. He took too long to catch the ball, or he bobbled a catch, you know, and he ended up costing his team in some key places.
All right, wide receiver, who is your hero of the week? Or this could be wide receiver or tight end. Who is your hero?
Well, you know, I want to say it because we're not going to have a chance to later in the year. I'm going to say Zach Miller. You know, sorry you're hurt, but you also returned in a really good week. But in all honesty, I would have to say Travis Kelce. I mean, he looked phenomenal.
He did.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Travis Kelce. I'm really pissed that I traded him in some league.
You know, my hero of the week, he didn't score a touchdown, but because of how well he's been playing for the past, like, 7 weeks, Rishard Matthews, he had 9 catches for 122 yards. He didn't score a touchdown, but that's been a rarity lately.
Yeah, man, I'll say.
All right, my zero of the week for receivers is, well, we already mentioned him, Marvin Jones. He disappears. He's done disappearing for the whole second half of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say, just strictly because of, like, you know, what you expect from him on a week-to-week basis, I'm going to say, you know, I'm sorry, guys. Antonio Brown, you let me down, buddy. You let me down. He was playing one of the worst passing defenses in the league against Cleveland. And, I mean, and I know a lot of this is game flow based, so don't get on me too much. But, yeah, for fantasy teams, he really failed to put up a good stat line. But we all know that was game flow based.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with the weather, which is going to play a big part going forward in this fantasy football season. You had a really good getting later in the year, weather's not always going to be good, so you really got to pay attention to that. Pay attention to your local weather stations.
Another bonus one that I have real quick is just Cameron Meredith. You know, I was expecting a lot from him. I know that you but specifically Johnny, said to temper expectations, and you actually ended up being right on this one. But Cameron Meredith, man, he really didn't, you know, produce this weekend. He was averaging about 4 or 5 fantasy points per league, and, you know, he just didn't get those wide receiver 3 numbers that we were hoping for. But the thing is, though, you know, with the injury to Zach Miller, you know, he can only go up from here.
You want to know an interesting stat line about these Chicago receivers is, you know who had just as many targets as Cameron Meredith?
Oh, Eddie Royal?
Not Eddie Royal. Marquise Wilson had 4 targets as well. He only caught 1 of them as opposed to Meredith catching, like, 3 of them. But, yeah, he caught one nice one. I think it was for like 15-20 yards. If you're in a deeper league, like a 16 to 20 man league, that might be worth a speculative add.
Yeah, good choice.
All right, before we go, with the gun to your head, pick a defense to stream this week.
Oh, shit. Caught me off guard, man.
I know, that's the point.
I'm going to say, as far as streaming goes, I think I'll probably choose Pittsburgh. I mean, Andrew Luck is most likely going to be out this week on Thursday, and I think that Pittsburgh will be a very viable option with, I don't even know who the fuck's his
Tolzien,
backup.
Or
Tolzien,
the
yeah,
fuck
oh, yeah.
His name,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good option. You're 47% owned in Yahoo leagues. Good choice. The one I'm going to go with is Buffalo. They're a little bit, they're not as widely available. They're 56% owned. They play Jacksonville, who turns the ball over like crazy.
That is a good point, too, yeah. Yeah, teams that turn the ball over.
Some other good options you could have out there, Tennessee, 16% owned. They are on the road, though, but they're playing against Chicago, who probably won't be with Jay Cutler, so that's a good option. And Detroit is playing Minnesota, so that's also an option.
That is an option.
All right. Well, that pretty much covers everything that we wanted to cover today. Do you have any last words, K-Mill?
No.
Safe sex is great sex.
Yeah, you know what? I think I burnt that one out, so I'm going to have to figure out a new one.
All right. I know we've been slacking a little bit with our shows lately, but we're going to have a couple of special episodes this week. Tomorrow we're going to bring Rico Suave on, and I want to do a special episode with him about it's going to be called the Late Season Blues. About, it's going to be like a lot about league management and what to do about like people who just don't care about their football team anymore, or people that say, oh, my team sucks, I want my money back, shit like that, where I was like, this is how you're going to handle it. So that'll be something to look forward to. And then obviously we're going to have our matchup show later on this week. Look forward to that one.
Yeah, man. We got to do it early too because of Thanksgiving games.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't want to be doing a show on Thanksgiving because I want to be drunk that entire day and stuff my face full of turkey, not chicken.
Yeah, I agree. I will be doing the same thing. I'm going to be working on getting really drunk and consuming a lot of food and alcohol.
All right. So that'll pretty much do it for today's show. You can catch us on iTunes. Leave us a rate and review. If you have any questions concerning your fantasy football team, you can follow us on Twitter at @TheFifthDownFF. We are also on Breaker. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Woo! Well, yeah, that'll do it. Have a good one, Fifth Downers.
Peace.